From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 9th day of July, 2024. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Susan Stroud. She's at Noble Ag. And then we'll discuss the weather forecast with Don Day at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Along the way, we'll talk about yesterday's USDA Weekly Crop Progress State Reports with the statisticians and hear from Stephen Platt of Archer Financial Services about the energy markets and where crude oil might be headed over the next year and what kinds of politics and other things are likely to impact it as we make our way through this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
December corn for the day settled at 408.5. It was 0.75 cents higher. November beans were down 19.5 cents at $10.80. And December wheat at 595.5 was up 1 cent on this Tuesday afternoon. Susan Stroud now joins us from Noble Ag. She's in the St. Louis, Missouri area. Hi, Susan. Thank you very much. I know that you have been involved in the traffic along the Mississippi River. As you watched it this year, and I understand that the lack of traffic might be important, but what have your thoughts have been as it's related to exports for commodities?
I guess when we go back and look at the challenges that we faced, kind of going all the way back to fall of 22, lingering challenges through 23, and then now we're finally in a situation where we have water. But we had those prolonged periods of really challenging logistical situations in the river system, and it led to high freight, high barge freight, and then, ultimately it just trickles down and it makes our bushels more expensive for the world buyer. And so that, plus a combination of a few other factors, just we've really had some poor export programs the past few years, but at least it seems like we're turning a corner as far as corn goes anyway. Beans, still a little bit of a struggle, but at least we're not dealing with low water, creating a lot of issues. Now, right now, we have high water on the mid and the upper, which has closed some places along the river due to high water conditions. But everyone south right now is welcoming that water with open arms. It's nice to finally be back at a point where we're not seeing dike and sandbar after sandbar that's creating problems for us in the system.
So some logistical issues that cause financial headaches for the marketplace in general. I do want to talk about other financial headaches. The market has, since the June reports, simply fallen apart for both corn and soybeans. What is your assessment of those two markets at this time?
The issue is that we price things so quickly. And so even though right now, now today specifically, we're seeing really cool temperatures because of the remnants of the hurricane that are moving up through the middle part of the country. But in general, we've seen above normal temperatures for the past several weeks here. And it looks like we're going to continue to see those, which normally, if you just looked at that by itself, you would think, okay, there's a bullish factor. But we've had rain and we've had some active patterns here. And like right now, we're seeing areas that need rain get it. We're seeing some of those areas in the northwestern part of the belt have a dry streak, which is what they need. So I think that the market in general is just kind of coming to grips with the fact that conditions are pretty good and forecasts for the most part are non-threatening going forward.
Given that information, what do you look forward to in the Friday USDA report?
We have to get to Friday first. looking at like today, it's nice to see that, oh, finally corn can maybe stop falling for a bit. So we managed to close just a hair higher today, which is good. But then looking at beans, new lows again today, and new crop beans down pretty hard. That whole complex hurt pretty hard today, led by soybean oil taking a step back after its, I think it had about a 14-15% rally there and over the course of about 10 days. Looking forward though on, you know, the biggest thing, we know acres now after the June 28th report. So those are going to be factored in. And just as soon as the numbers came out, even though USDA was struggling there for about 20 minutes, I think it was on the 28th, it didn't get the numbers out on time. But once the numbers come out and you're looking at a trend yield or whatever each group may be using yield-wise, everyone's already kind of got that plugged in. And that's a lot of what's dictated market action to here the past, over the course of the past 10 days since we had the acreage report. One thing to probably look for, we should see old crop corn exports increase a little bit because we're actually, we've picked up business here over the course of the past few months. Bean-wise, old crop beans, I'm not certain that we see much for change. They should take exports down a smidge. Crush actually probably needs to be reduced a little bit, but I don't know that they will necessarily address that this time around. One of the biggest things to remember with these reports, especially when we're looking at 2 years, two different marketing years of data, that anything that happens to old crop, those old crop changes flow directly into new crop as beginning stocks. And so whatever's happening in old crop changes in ending stocks will automatically by default become changes in beginning stocks for new crop. So that's one thing to keep in mind. So if we see an old crop bean balance sheet that continues to build a little bit, then we just see that tacked on to new crop. A lot of people will probably, and I hate yield discussions, absolutely hate yield discussions. But a lot of people maybe will try to say, oh, USDA should make some sort of adjustment yield-wise. Of course, everyone wants to talk yields down. But what the weather, you know, what we've had here and what it looks like going forward, given conditions, USDA has no reason whatsoever to make a yield adjustment in this report. It's not typical for July. I think last year they revised corn lower. But that we were also, I think, 51% good to excellent or something this week, 1 year ago on corn. And we're in the upper 60s right now. And this week's weather is probably going to improve that, most likely.
Hey, thanks much, Susan. Susan Stroud is with No Bull at NoBullAg.com. You should also visit No Bull Summit. We'll hear more about that on Thursday of this week. This is the second annual event. The first one that took place in St. Louis, like the upcoming one in August, was a fantastic event by all accounts. I hope you'll tune in for that. We'll talk with Susan again on Thursday about the No Bull Summit. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows 24% of the corn across the nation has silked. The rolling five-year average is 14%. 3% of the crop has now entered the dough stage. 2% is the five-year average. And the condition of the crop is said to be 68% good to excellent. Last week, that number was 67%. 34% of the soybeans are now blooming. The five-year average is 28%. 9% have set pods, the five-year average is 5%, and the condition of the crop is 68% good to excellent. That compares to 67% last week. 63% of the wheat has now been harvested. The rolling five-year average is 52%. Now here are the state statisticians with updates from their regions.
This is Hunter Bloom, agricultural statistician for the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office. The south central and northeast portions of the state received heavy rains in comparison to the northwest portions of the state. Concerns were expressed about getting hay put up and spraying for weeds due to frequent rain. Topsoil moisture condition rated 0% very short, 4% short, 77% adequate, and 19% surplus. Corn silking reached 17%, equal to last year, but 4 days ahead of the five-year average. Corn condition was 76% good to excellent. Soybean crop blooming reached 32%, 2 days behind last year, but equal to the average. Soybean setting pods reached 5%. Soybean condition rated 76% good to excellent. The oat harvest for grain was 8% complete, 6 days ahead of the average. Oat condition rated 79% good to excellent. The state's second cutting of alfalfa hay reached 34% complete. Hay condition rated 81% good to excellent. Pasture condition rated 73% good to excellent. Feedlot conditions were made muddy due to excess precipitation and flooding. For the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office, this is Hunter Bloom.
This is Mark Schleusener, State Statistician for Illinois with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Temperatures were slightly cooler than average and rainfall was above normal last week in Illinois. Rainfall averaged 1.18 inches, more than 1/4 inch above normal. Eastern and central parts of the state were drier than normal, but the rest of the state had above average rainfall. And topsoil moisture was rated 5% very short, 28 short, 65 adequate, and 2% surplus. That is wetter than 1 week ago. 39% of corn acres are silking compared to 21% 1 year ago and 16% for the 5-year average. 1% of acres have reached the dough stage. Corn conditions improved slightly and were rated 10% very poor to poor, 23% fair, and 67% good to excellent. 43% of soybean acres are now blooming compared to 36% 1 year ago and 24% normally. 9% of soybean acres were setting pods compared to 3% for the 5-year average. Soybean conditions improved slightly and were rated 10% very poor to poor, 24% fair, and 66% good to excellent. Winter wheat harvest reached 93% finished compared to 86% 1 year ago and 85% normally. The second cutting of alfalfa hay is 49% finished and other hay is 96% harvested. Pasture conditions improved significantly and were rated 11% very poor to poor, 23% fair, and 66% good to excellent. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus. Minnesota farmers had 2.9 days suitable for field work during the week. Heavy rain and saturated soils continued to restrict access to fields throughout much of the state. Some livestock losses were reported due to flash flooding. Topsoil moisture supplies rated 0% very short, 1% short, 48% adequate, and 51% surplus. Corn silking reached 4% complete, that's 5 days behind last year and 2 days behind the 5-year average. Corn condition was rated 59% good to excellent. Soybeans blooming reached 32%, that's 4 days behind last year, but equal to the 5-year average. Soybean began setting pods at 2%. Soybean condition was rated 60% good to excellent. Spring wheat was 76% headed and began coloring at 3%. Condition of the crop was rated 88% good to excellent. The first cutting of alfalfa hay reached 90% complete, and the second cutting was at 23% complete. All hay condition was rated 72% good to excellent. Pasture conditions, 77% good to excellent. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Nathaniel Warnsky with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Indiana Field Office. Timely rains improved soil moisture levels and bolstered crop conditions. Topsoil moisture levels increased from the previous week, with 70% rated adequate or surplus. Intermittent rains and below average temperatures helped maintain soil moisture levels throughout much of the state. Winter wheat harvest was in full swing and progress remained ahead of schedule. Corn and soybean conditions were rated 76 and 66% good to excellent, respectively. Corn silking and soybean blooming progress both continued ahead of schedule. This is Nathaniel Warnsky with USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Indiana Field Office.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the Midwest. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Our theme music is written, performed, produced, and courtesy of Logan County, Illinois farmer Tim Gleason. We thank him. Let's check the weather forecast now with Don Day. He's at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Hey, Don, what is it that you see in the Corn Belt over the next week or so?
In the short term, it'll be all about the remains of Hurricane Beryl moving quickly through the northern and northeastern Corn Belt. So Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, parts of Ohio and Wisconsin, and eastern Iowa will get some more rain and thunderstorm activity. But the trend after the remains of Beryl move out will be a warmer, drier trend. Temperatures short term will be a bit below average, but there is a hot dome of high pressure out west. This brought record heat to places like Las Vegas and Palm Springs and Death Valley. Well, warmer, drier air will mean some alleviation of the flooding concerns in the Northwest Corn Belt, lesser rain chances and warmer temperatures, and eventually that heat will build eastward into the Corn Belt as we get into late next week. So we're going to see temperatures start to get warmer by then, and that warmer trend will continue into the following week as some of that western heat expands across the Corn Belt and the nation's midsection. So some hot July weather is coming in about 5 to 7 days.
Don Day is with Day Weather. He is in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Stephen Platt is with Archer Financial Services in the Chicago area and now joins us to take a look at the agricultural energies. Good afternoon to you, Stephen. Thank you for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Tell me what you've seen change in the last month related to the agricultural and energy sectors.
Well, we've had a lot of movement, for sure. The market today is down close to 80 cents as Beryl basically did not affect the oil production facilities in Texas, nor the peace talks progressing in Gaza having any real discernible influence. If anything, it's taken away some of the support we've seen here recently. What we have been seeing over the past month has been the crude market really holding to a consolidative range, really, since March. And a lot of that has taken place between around $75 and $85. We reached near $85 here just this few days ago, and subsequently have backed off and trading around $81.80 now on August crude. Product markets are still volatile, with gasoline strengthening on the summer gasoline demand period getting underway. The margins are still reasonable in terms of the gasoline, as some of the Asian margins have weakened as supplies come in from China into the rest of the Asian basin.
What else have you been watching?
We've seen distillate also hold its own. Stock levels have basically stabilized. They are still low relative to gasoline, which are in normal position right now, and will likely remain weak in terms of demand side on distillate and diesel because of the slowdown that we've seen in construction. The more comfortable stock position that we've seen for crude, gasoline, and to some extent distillate has provided some stability to the market. Nevertheless, the longer-term potential is still up, I think, for grabs in terms of the markets dealing with political uncertainty and how it deals with the prospective stock builds as we move into 2024.
Have you been thinking very much about what those stock builds might look like or have any insight?
Right now, most forecasts are pointing to a stock draw in the third quarter of this year, followed by stock builds as we end 24 into 25. And this is certainly going to be a concern if those stock builds do come about. Given the demand side, I think they will. And also the prospective increase in production from non-OPEC countries, such as the U.S., Brazil, Guyana, Canada, all looking like they have some upside trajectory in terms of their production wage.
Are there moneyed interest willing to invest in this kind of production expansion?
There's a lot of potential changes in terms of the U.S. given the uncertain election that we're looking at and potential regulatory changes that could actually influence investment in oil capacity, particularly if some of the environmental policies pull back, given who is actually elected. The other factor that I was surprised by was the Iranian election, even. On the world stage, these political elections have come about, be it France and Iran. And in Iran, they actually voted in a more moderate president following Raisi's death over a month ago. That could lead to some further expansion in their production levels as they try to work with the West on more moderate policies. And this is a big change in terms of Iran, which is a major producer of oil.
How do you suppose those nations in OPEC react? And what impact does it have on the price of crude oil?
So these are all factors that are coming into play in terms of this market, making for a very uncertain outlook as we move into 25. I think the market will be more on the defensive than moving sharply higher, and that 85 to maybe even 88 level is going to be it for now in terms of upside potential. And that downside risk might start to evolve if Saudi Arabia starts to recognize that their production cuts are hurting them more than trying to be able to support the market.
Hey, thank you much. That, of course, is Steve Platt. He is with Archer Financial Services. Joined us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online, listen to us on demand whenever you'd like. You can do that at willag.org, willag.org. There you can just click and play to listen to our daily programming or look under the podcast tab to subscribe to the Closing Market Report, Commodity Week, and the Illinois Nutrient Loss Reduction Podcast. You'll also find on the homepage information for the Ag Economist, the Crop Scientist, and the Animal Scientist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Thank you.